This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, surfers are giving up the perfect wave to help in Indonesia. But first, in Iraq, more violence as the country approaches elections at the end of the month. This morning in Baghdad, that city's deputy police chief was gunned down as he left his house. About an hour later, a suicide bomber drove a truck laden with explosives into a police station in southern Baghdad, killing four officers and wounding another 19. In a speech given Friday before those attacks, President Bush had this to say about the insurgents' intentions.
And the reason they're trying to stop people from voting is because they understand that democracies stand in the exact opposite to what they believe.
The president is directing U.S. forces in Iraq to make every effort to create a safe environment for the elections. With us now to talk about the Iraqi vote is NPR's diplomatic correspondent Mike Schuster. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Madeline.
I understand that about half of the country's eligible voters are in areas deemed too dangerous to vote.
Well, there are some four provinces that even U.S. officials and military commanders say are not safe to vote, but those are, in fact, highly populated areas where a lot of people live. And so, yes, there's a great deal of part of, there are many, many in the Iraqi population that will risk their lives if they go out and vote on January 30th.
And today in the Washington Post, a story that the entire 13-member electoral commission in the province of Anbar, encompassing Fallujah and Ramadi, have resigned, saying impossible to hold elections.
The Washington Post is reporting that. Other news sources are not yet reporting that, but it sounds like, in fact, those who are trying to run an election in Anbar province, and that's where Fallujah and Ramadi are, have decided that it's simply too dangerous to even be associated with the election. And according to the Washington Post, they've resigned.
So who is taking part in the elections, and who are the most important candidates?
Well, there's some 14 million people who are believed to be eligible to vote, and a lot of them live in the south, which is dominated by the Shiite majority, and it's largely safe in those areas like the cities of Karbala and Najaf. In Kurdistan to the north, Kurdistan is largely peaceful, and everyone expects that the vote can take place in Kurdistan peacefully, and indeed in parts of central Iraq and Baghdad as well. The Shiite neighborhood of Sadr City is a huge slum in East Baghdad. Many of them will be able to safely vote in the election on January 30th as well.
And also on Friday, President Bush had these upbeat comments to say about the vote. Let's hear what he said.
I think elections will be such an incredibly hopeful experience for the Iraqi people.
And he was responding to comments from Brent Scowcroft, the advisor and close friend of the president's father, the first President Bush. Scowcroft said the elections have a great potential for deepening the conflict. He said we may be seeing incipient civil war at this time.
Well, the violence does feel like it's increasing as we get closer and closer to this election. The attacks seem more targeted, using a larger amount of explosives, more bombs. And it is difficult to say. Most people expect a Shiite-dominated government to emerge from these elections. Most people also believe that the Sunni population from central Iraq will be underrepresented because that's primarily where the insurgency is. And therefore, the question arises, how will a possibly new Shiite-dominated government deal with the insurgency, and whether the gap between these communities in Iraq, between the Shiites and the Sunnis losing power, the Shiites gaining it for the first time in Iraq's history, how will that affect the violence and the insurgency? We don't know the answer to that, but it could very well be that the insurgency will increase because the Sunnis who support it see that they've lost political power as a result of the election.
They have called for postponing the election. The Shiites don't want that.
Mostly Sunni politicians have called for postponing the election, but when they call for postponing the election, they don't say how in the intervening months while the delay is underway, how that can deal with the insurgency. And no one has suggested a strategy, a political and military strategy that would accompany a delay. On the other hand, a delay would anger the Shiites who have stood for elections all along. They wanted elections last spring. The United States resisted that. Now we're scheduled for elections now, and the Shiites and the Shiite leadership, both clerical and political, wanted to go forward.
Some murmurings now about should the U.S. pull out. Scowcroft saying that the U.S. should transfer control to NATO or the U.N. How feasible is that?
Well, as I understand it, there's a lot of talk in Washington privately about a strategy for pulling out and how this election might affect that. But no one has a clear idea yet. And when you listen to President Bush is firm in keeping American troops there and sticking with the political and military course that he's established all along.
NPR's diplomatic correspondent Mike Schuster. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, Madeline.